balance of nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm 70 years old. I have a whole lot more energy. I rest better at night. I can get out and work in the yard all day long, and I don't get tired at all. It's amazing how much difference it makes. Big energy boost. And I had my doctor's appointment today for just my regular checkup. And I told him I started taking this a few months back. And he said, I understand that's a good product. Take it.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code KATE.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and in light of the recent events, your continued support means everything to myself and my employees. To thank you, we're having the biggest sale ever on all my pillow bedding. Get my pillow bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98. In this economy, instead of buying a new bed, rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. We also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles, like plush, waffle, or gossamer, for as low as $29.98. We even have pet blankets from small size to the ones for your car. Get huge discounts on duvets, quilts, down comforters, and so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call that number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding, including MyPillow bed sheets, for as low as $29.98. Get all your shopping in while quantities last. Please order now.
Make sure and use the promo code KATE, K-A-T-E, and get those savings and help Truth in Radio. Thanks, you guys.
This much ibuprofen? The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show. Yes, it's a Friday. Are you happy about that? I am. I'll take it. May is always a very busy month, isn't it? Graduations and Mother's Day and all kinds of stuff going on. And I'm so grateful that you're listening in today. We're taking a break from politics today, as I announced yesterday. Today, I just want to focus on the nature of man, the good of man, and the kindness of strangers. And there are so many stories I could choose from to talk about this subject, but I think it's just really important to kind of get right back to the fact that we have a lot of really good, wonderful, loving people in this world. And no matter what's happening politically, oh my gosh, there's so many stories today we could have talked about. Sometimes I have to go and reflect back on the nature and goodness of man, because I know it's there and because we need to remember it always, right? So I'm going to start off today's story with a story from a woman named Laura Zimmerman, who was lost in Portugal and what happened to her. And then I want to talk about a story by Adam Elick, where he talks about an oath he made to his father. So listen up. This is Lost in Portugal. I think you're going to like this. Here we go. Laura Zimmerman.
Portugal 20 years ago, it was way before there were Google Maps. We just had these things that were they were maps. And I don't know, the thing about those maps was that if you didn't already know where you were, they were not helpful at all. So essentially, my husband and I were lost in Portugal for 9 days. But it was a beautiful country, lovely people, and we had learned the important phrase, ham and cheese together on the same bread. But our last stop was to be this national park reserve where there was supposed to be a beautiful view of the ocean. The next morning, we'd fly home. So we stopped at the park reserve, and the guidebook warned that there were thieves and pickpockets. So I cleverly took all of our items of value, which included some money, passports, plane tickets, and a bottle of Vino Verde wine, and put them in a green Eddie Bauer shoulder bag and locked them in the trunk of the car. This turned out to be kind of an unintentional courtesy on my part, because then the guy who broke into the car had something to take our valuables away in. So, a little bit of history. Never a good idea to lose your passport. 20 years ago, it was almost as bad to lose your plane tickets. They just gave you one plane ticket. You had to keep track of that one plane ticket. You couldn't go to the kiosk and print a new one because we didn't have kiosks. And if we did have kiosks, they would have used them to sell cigarettes to smoke on the airplane, because that's how different travel was 20 years ago. So this was a really big deal. Making it more complicated was the fact that it was some kind of one of those European holidays where we couldn't get through to the airline. So the police said, go to the airport in the morning, see if someone can help you, but you're probably not going home tomorrow. I was desperate at this point to go home. It is exhausting to be lost and robbed and eating only ham sandwiches for 9 days in a row. So this was terrible. So the next morning, bright and early, we go to the check-in counter, and I say, we don't have our plane tickets, and the agent interrupts me, and she says, I think someone found your plane tickets. No one found my plane tickets because they were stolen 2 hours south of here, or possibly east of here, or we were a long way away. But she gets on her walkie, and pretty soon there's this big guy in a suit with an airport badge striding toward us through the airport. He is beaming, and he's holding a green Eddie Bauer shoulder bag. So this is the story he tells me. The day before, in honor of the holiday, a woman had gone mushroom hunting in the National Forest. And deep in the woods, she found this bag discarded. The money was gone, the wine was gone, but our plane tickets and our passports were there. She called the airline, and as you know, they weren't answering. So she knew she had to call back the next day, but she noticed that the plane tickets were to New York, and they were for the first thing the next morning, and she knew if she waited, it would be too late to help. So Maria Teresa Cavallo calls the United States Embassy, and they are also closed for business, but she finds an emergency number, which I think is supposed to be for when the ambassador's son gets a DUI or something, but she called on our behalf, and somehow this woman talked them into tracking down the home address of the airport director. And then at 2 o'clock in the morning, this Portuguese mushroom forager that I'll never meet drives 40 minutes to a stranger's home to deliver this bag so two lost Americans can find their way home. So I start crying at Mushroom, and I sob the entire way over the Atlantic or the Pacific or whatever that big one is on that side. And I think, like, how can you repay that kind of kindness? One with a bag of wild rice and some Mall of America magnets. Obviously, we sent those. And then two, 20 years later, standing on stage and telling you, Maria Teresa Cavallo's instinct for generosity and compassion and responsibility for strangers who are not even from her country, who didn't speak her language, is the only acceptable model for diplomacy there is. Thank you.
Cute story. And I'm sure any of you that have traveled have seen the kindness of strangers when you've traveled as well. So have I, actually. So I love that about that story. I want to take you to a story about an oath that the son made as his father lay dying and what he was put in charge of. Here we go. This is called The Awkward Oath by Adam Elick.
When my father was dying of cancer, he called me into the living room. Beside him was my 77-year-old grandpa, Marty. And he said, no matter what happens to me, always take care of Marty. I was 21, so of course I agreed. But I didn't love Marty. Marty was a raunchy, offensive little fella. Massive gut, spindly little chicken legs, and when he spoke, it was an offensive comment about a woman or he was railing against a relative who didn't pick up a lunch bill 7 years ago. Marty was born to dirt-poor Jewish immigrant parents. 13 kids shared an outhouse. And when Marty was 16, he was forced to quit school to work in a butcher shop. Marty was obsessed with money. His goal was to never be poor again. And he eventually bought that butcher shop in a Hasidic Jewish neighborhood. Everyone there said Marty has the best burgers in town, and he did, because he laced the meat with a cheaper type of meat called pork. My grandfather. We didn't have much of a relationship growing up. When he was in the meat shop, I was fulfilling my narrow view of success. I was accumulating degrees and becoming a journalist, and I was dating girls who work at think tanks. And now I was stuck with this oath from my father to take care of a man I didn't love, but I wasn't gonna let my dad down. After my dad died, for the first few months, I'd call Marty once a month and I would check in with him. The calls were awkward. We were just going through the motions. And then one day I got a call that Marty's in the ICU. I went there and we probably both thought this was the end, because when I got there, he finally had a real and raw conversation with me. He told me that he was still haunted by memories of what he saw liberating the Dachau concentration camp. He told me what we all knew, which is he still felt guilty for being an absent workaholic parent. He survived, and then I started calling him every day on my way to work. I just wanted to inject a little bit of happiness into his lonely life. And he soon declared those calls the highlight of his day. I was just listening. He revealed to me why his business went bankrupt at 75. It turns out one of his own sons stole all the money from the meat shop, and Marty was still heartbroken. I was just listening. Sometimes we forget about our amazing power to just listen someone back to life. Now, I'll spare you the details, but as Marty got into his 80s, he was sicker and sicker. Every time, three or four times, ICU, surgery. We'd call the funeral home and the sucker would come right back. Then I had to start going every month to Delaware to visit him. And on those car rides, I was kind of hating myself. You should be writing a book or going on dates. But he needed things and I had to take care of him. And when I got there, we had so much fun because this broke guy was freeing himself of all his resentment. The womanizer now had a female fan club. The nurses in the rehab center would come visit him on his day off to hear his stupid joke. Marty and I are both a bit abrasive and grouchy, and I feel like we created this space together that was like a place and a vulnerability and a sweetness that we never wanted to show to other people. I saw us as two single guys. We shop alone for groceries and we sleep in empty beds. Marty had two failed marriages and I've had a mess of a love life. And I feel like being together during those visits was our way of processing together our loneliness. The last time Marty went into the hospital was for hernia surgery and the doctor said, "Don't do it, it's way too dangerous." At this point, Marty had a pacemaker and a feeding tube and a catheter and a colostomy bag, and it was no life, and he said, "Let's do the surgery." Just before they wheeled him into the operating room, I was at his bedside. He was unconscious, and I was bawling. And I was trying to decide if I want this man to survive or to die. I thought back, I panicked. I thought back to that pledge I made my dad. I was supposed to take care of him and make him live. But there was nothing left. The doctor came to console me by my side. She was a gorgeous Russian cardiologist. And she said, "You know, just before he closed his eyes, he told me, 'Are you still single?'" I apologized to her in the midst of my tears and I said, "I'm sorry, please don't even tell me what else he said. I can't even imagine." And she said, "He told me that if he survives, he's gonna introduce me to a schmuck who has the warmest heart in the world." Aww. This whole thing started with me being terrified about taking care of someone who I didn't even love. And as he wheeled away, I realized that now I'm terrified to let go of someone who I truly loved. Thank you.
Great story, The Awkward Oath. These all come from The Moth, and some wonderful stories there. When I come back, I'm going to share more with you. One, I could tell you the premise of all of them, but they're so good uniquely in their own way that you've got to listen. You just got to listen. That's how good they are. Anyway, I love focusing on the goodness of people. And once in a while, I think it's super healthy to take a step back and say, you know, people are really good out there too. Be right back. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me.
There you go, Shaka Khan. Welcome back. Tell me something good. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Today, I'm taking a break from politics and talking about people, the goodness of people. And I wanted to share a couple of stories with you. But first, I just wanted to mention, please get healthy. Get healthy so you can do all these good things out in the world. There's a product I love because I researched it. I started taking it. And it's that good that I talk about it every day on the show. Balance of Nature. Balanceofnature.com. Hands down, best product of its kind. It's a food supplement. 31 fruits and vegetables. Can't go wrong. It's amazing. And I love it. So please, it's easy to take, it's affordable, it's amazing, and you'll get 35% off in free shipping. Just put in the code KATE. You've got to put in the code KATE to get the savings. Helps the show too. Balanceofnature.com. Also go to mypillow.com too, if you would. Mystore.com or mypillow.com. American made, amazing, and you'll love the products. You'll love the products. Up to 90% off and great for Father's Day, weddings, graduation gifts. Oh my gosh, so many things. So please go to mystore.com and mypillow.com, and you're also helping Truth in Radio exist. Two firefighters were waiting in line at a fast food restaurant when the siren sounded on their fire truck parked outside. And as they turned to leave, a couple who had just received their order handed their food to the firefighters. The couple then got back in line to reorder, doubling down on their selfless act. The manager refused to take their money. That comes from Joanne Sanderson, Brandon, Florida. So touched by it that she actually added it to Reader's Digest so that people could see this and what a nice act that was. And to some people that might seem like a really small thing, but it's, you know, a big thing too. And it was touching enough that they put it in here. Just driving through, when my friend and I were injured in a car accident, a family from out of state stopped to help. Seeing we were hurt, they drove us to the hospital and stayed there until we were released. Then they took us home, got us food, and made sure we were settled. They interrupted their entire vacation to help us. Wow. That comes from Cindy Earls in Oklahoma. Jeez. I mean, just little things, but big things, right? Driving home in a blizzard, I noticed a vehicle trailing close behind me. Suddenly, my tire blew. I pulled off the road, and so did the other car. A man jumped out from behind the wheel and, without hesitation, changed the flat. He said, "I was going to get off 2 miles back because I didn't think your tire looked good." Followed her for 2 extra miles, waited for it to blow, pulled over, and fixed her flat. Wow. Marilyn Atterbury from Washington. When my husband died suddenly, a coworker took me under her wing. Every week for an entire year, she would send me a card saying, "Thinking of you," or "Hang in there." She saved my life. Jerry Lynn Collette, Burnsville, Minnesota. Leaving a store, I returned to my car, only to find that I'd locked my keys and cell phone inside. A teenager riding his bike, saw me kick a tire and say a few choice words, What's wrong? He asked. I explained my situation. I said, but even if I could call my wife, I said, I can't bring me her car key since this is our only car. He handed me his cell phone. Call your wife and tell her I'm coming to get her key. But he said, that's 7 miles round trip on your bike. And he said, don't worry about it. An hour later, he returned with my key. I offered him some money, but he refused. Let's just say I needed the exercise, he said. Then, like a cowboy in the movies, he rode off into the sunset. This comes from Clarence Stevens, Nicholson, Kentucky. A teenager did that. That's some good parenting right there, don't you think? Wow. Be right back. I have more stories for you. In their own words, be right back. Kate Daly Show. There you go.
Hello, this is Jeremy, your host.
One of the things that a lot of us learn at a young age isn't the most complicated thing to do. But it isn't always the easiest to keep up with in our busy day-to-day adult lives. Eating fruits and vegetables doesn't have to be hard. Balance of Nature's produce is powdered after an advanced vacuum cold process, which stabilizes the maximum nutrient content. After, they are put into all natural vegan capsules, so you can take your daily fruits and vegetables in just a few seconds. Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
One of toil and blood. When blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. So glad you're joining me. This next story, I love this because this kind of stuff happens a lot. And I think this goes unsung a lot. I think people do these things a lot. I think they go to the trouble a lot. But we don't really talk about them very much, do we? There's such a focus on the negative in the media that we don't really get these stories. And I just know there's so many good people out there that just do really go out of their way for each other. And that's what I love about my fellow man. This story is Return to Sender, the blanket, David Cole. Here we go.
My wife and I are relatively recent transplants to Houston. We moved here from Austin. And several years ago, when we lived in Austin, we have young kids, and she has friends who have young kids, and some of her friends lived in Dallas. And a couple weeks before Christmas, these were close enough friends where we would send presents to their kids, and they would send Christmas presents to our kids. And we get the box from her friends in Dallas, and we open it up, you know, to get the presents out, to put them under the tree. And there's like 7 or 8 presents in there, and they're all addressed to Ben, Love, Grandma. Now, neither of our children are named Ben, and my wife's friend is not grandmother to nobody. So we call her up and we ask her, hey, what's up with the presents addressed to Ben, Love, Grandma? And she says, I have no idea, but I'll get to the bottom of this. So she says she'll go to the post office and figure it out. So I'm thinking to myself, what on earth are they going to know about it? So she goes and comes back and says, well, I went down and asked, and turns out they had no idea what happened. So I'm thinking I know exactly what happened. I mean, we've all had some kind of boring jobs, and you do what you do to entertain yourself. And so I'm sure someone in the post office decided it would be funny to open up 2 boxes and just switch the contents. Ha, 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 very funny. So we put the presents aside and just kind of let it alone. And weeks go by, Christmas comes and goes, and then finally it's getting close to Valentine's Day. And I'm like, you know, well, crap, we never got the presents for our kids. Feeling a little betrayed here. So I'm like, well, before we go buy Valentine's presents for our kids, let's open these presents up and maybe there's something we can, you know, re-gift here. So we open the first couple and they're the normal weird kind of grandma gifts you would think. You're not even sure really what they are. Open about the third present, it's a little stuffed bear, and I'm finally thinking, okay, that's something we can use. And the fourth present was some pajamas. I'm like, all right, they're way too big for my son, but, you know, he'll grow into them. And the whole time my wife is like, oh, that stuffed bear was for Ben. Ben's not going to get this stuffed bear. And, oh, the pajamas, he's not going to get the pajamas. And then there are two presents left, and they're kind of the big ones. And we open up the second to last one, and it's this sweater, this hand-knit sweater. We can tell because there's no tag. And my wife is like, oh, Grandma knit that sweater just for Ben. We've got to find Ben. And I'm thinking, oh, she's crazy. And then we open the last present, the biggest of the bunch. And it's this old blanket with this design of a fire truck. And there's a note. And it says, Dear Ben, this is the bedspread that was on your father's bed when he was a son, when he was a boy. And just as it covered and protected him, now it will cover and protect you. And so now, even I'm like, well, crap, we gotta find Ben. So we look, and all we have are the names Ben and Grandma. And that's not a lot to go by. So we kind of keep poring over, and one of the weird little trinkets, the weird little grandma gift kind of thing, on the back had a sticker that said Spring Hill Hospice. So I do a Google search for Spring Hill Hospice, and the only thing I can find even close, there was a Spring Hill Day Hospice in this little town called Rochdale in England. And we're like, well, there's no way that's it. This was a box sent to us from Dallas to Austin. I mean, we could see the return address. And my wife looks at the pajamas, and she said, you know what? I've never seen this brand of pajamas before. So we do a Google search for that, and it turns out it's an English brand of pajamas. So we're like, well, this is really strange. So I'm thinking, well, what can we do here? So I find the Spring Hill Day Hospice website, and I email what happened. We took pictures of all the gifts. I email every email address that's on their website. You know, there's maybe 10. I got maybe two responses, both saying, sorry, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Then it occurs to me, well, you know, Rochdale's a pretty small town. I look it up. It's about 20,000 people, so I figure they have a relatively small newspaper. So I find their website, and I email all the editors. None of them are really willing to help. So then I start looking on their website. I start emailing the reporters, and I finally find one email address of this reporter, and she said, all right, I'll run the story. So she runs the story, and I kind of figure, well, we'll see what happens. Weeks go by, I don't hear anything. And then finally I get an email from her, and she said, guess what? I think I found Ben. I sent them your contact information. And sure enough, the next day I get an email from a guy who lives in Austin. He said, I think you have my box. Can I come by tonight and get it? So he comes by, and then he shows there, and he has his son Ben with him, and he pulls me aside. He says, you cannot imagine how much this means to us. My mom, grandma, on the gifts, died December 23rd. And we were just beside ourselves trying to figure out what happened to this package. And he said, what ended up happening is at the funeral, a friend of the family overheard me telling someone what happened to the gifts, and she was the one who happened to see the story, and that's how it all came together.
Isn't that great? I love it. I mean, you would never know, right? You take that extra time to give an act of kindness, and you have no idea what it's going to mean to somebody else. You got to love it. This story, a little more solemn, comes from the events of 9/11 and the people involved on the ground in 9/11. This is Jim Giacconi, and this is called, his story is called Brothers.
It's on TV was saying that the way that the Twin Towers were constructed and the manner in which they collapsed, there was bound to be voids. And inside those voids was a potential to find survivors. My family and I hung on those words. My older brother, Joe, Joseph Michael Giacconi, had an office on the 103rd floor of the North Tower. and he had gone to work early that Tuesday morning. And he was missing. And we were going out of our minds. I immediately tried to gain access, but was turned away again and again because ultimately too many people were volunteering. It would become too chaotic. After a couple of days, a buddy of mine called. He was a firefighter up in Harlem. And he told me to meet him at his firehouse. And I dressed in his bunker gear, and me, him, and another firefighter drove on our way down to Ground Zero. When we got down below Canal Street, we started encountering checkpoints. Either military or police personnel with automatic weapons. But once they saw we were all dressed as firefighters, they waved us right through. We parked all the way on the east side. The guy that drove was afraid that we would be blocked in by more emergency vehicles, and we walked blocks and blocks west. We were about a block away from the start of the debris field when I used to think of myself as somebody who could handle pretty much anything thrown at me. And I thought I had prepared myself for what I was walking into. But I became sick. After I regained my composure, we walked into the pile. There are no words. There's no pictures. There is no way to accurately describe what I saw, what I heard, what I smelled. And I have no rescue and recovery training whatsoever. But I saw no voids. It was apocalyptic. My buddy said he wanted to try and meet up with the other guys from his firehouse that were working on the west side of the pile. We were all the way on the east. We found the best way to go around was we went down a side street in the side door of an adjacent building, and we went into either the cellar or the sub-cellars because all the main floors were damaged. And the buildings were all pretty much city blocks long. So we walked the distance of the building underground, and we came up on the other staircase across the street and down again and again. Multiple times I saw written on the walls these pleas, usually from firefighters, begging for any information for one of their friends who is still missing. Sometimes written in soot with their fingers. We ultimately came out at the base of the atrium of the Winter Garden building. Winter Garden building was an iconic, beautiful atrium, and it was completely destroyed. We climbed out onto the pile and we worked on the bucket brigade. Later on, my friend said, "Let's go back to the firehouse." I'm pretty sure he picked up on the fact that I was completely and totally defeated. We had become separated from the guy that drove us, and there was no transportation, but a cop offered to give us a ride as far as Midtown. Before I got in the car, I called my dad. And I told him I was sorry. And I said, "No way Joe is coming home." The cop dropped us off on 42nd Street, and I don't remember what avenue. In fact, I remember stepping up onto the sidewalk to try to get my bearings. And a couple walked in front of me with a young boy, and I noticed the man did a double take when he spotted me. And he stopped and he turned and he stood in front of me and he started to extend his hand. And even before I could shake his hand, he fell forward and hugged me. And he started to cry. And he said, I'm sorry for the loss of your brothers. He thought I was a firefighter. It's amazing to me when you realize how many thoughts can fire off in your brain in the blink of an eye, in a fraction of a second. In that millisecond, I understood that that man needed to cry. In that millisecond, I felt horrible, horrible guilt. In that same millisecond, I reasoned it was okay. Because he has used the word brother. Thank you very much.
So hard to listen to the people that went through that on that day. And I know as a nation we all felt it for the people that were victimized in that. But we really all did feel it. And we really are all brothers too. Really, right? All right. I will come right back. I've got one for you. And then in the next hour or two, I've got some more amazing stories. Be right back. Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com. There you go.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
About 2 years ago, I was going through some emails for work, and I ran across one that said, "Join City of Detroit Toastmasters." And I thought, what the heck is a Toastmaster? And then I go, maybe it's an organization of experts at browning bread in small slotted appliances. So I clicked it. Discover and develop your skills in public speaking. Public speaking? No. See, I was that super shy kid that would dodge anything that would have me in the spotlight. I would rather die than to speak in public. I was pretty comfortable in my own little world, so I didn't do it. But I was also going through a tough time in my life. My mom was losing a short battle with dementia. It had quickly taken her strong body, her cool, calming voice, her razor sharp and beautiful mind. And it was devastating. But it proved to me that there are no guarantees in life. About 2 weeks later, I found that email again and opened it. I decided to go to the first meeting, you know, just to check it out. But I ended up joining the club. Now, initially, I didn't really participate until I thought, why pay this money, show up, and not really give it a full go? So I did. A few months in, a request was made for some of the members to give a humorous speech. So I told one of a time that I tried this insane hot sauce that completely destroyed me, going in and coming out. But they picked me to represent the club in a competition. And I start thinking, no, wait, here's that spotlight thing. I don't want to do it. But I nervously stepped in the spotlight, and to my surprise, I won second place. And that sent me to the next round, and I took first. I started thinking, this is a setup, isn't it? I moved on another round, and I didn't place at all. But it was okay. See, I discovered by stepping into the unknown, it was scary, but I kind of felt alive again. So I kept going to the meetings. And then I got a call from my sister. And the three of us sat by her side, consoling her and each other until she transitioned. There was a fuzziness and an anxiousness to my world after that. So I decided to embark on a year of yes and vowed to try new things, almost anything, without second-guessing it or overthinking it. And I wanted to see what's on the other side of the unknown. It led to me delivering a keynote speech, talking to students in schools, jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. That was in the air, by the way. And taking daily cold showers to jumpstart my mornings. And then I got a chance to share a story with another organization whose logo was this small, delicate bug that flutters around at night. Maybe you heard of them? Well, I hadn't, but I said yes anyway. Do you know, 2 days before this event, I find out there will be 1,800 people in attendance. I'm like, what? Okay, I probably should research a little bit before saying yes to some things. But I stepped on stage with four of the storytellers that night in a beautiful theater. And my dad was my plus one. It was incredible to look out there and see him. And I felt Mom's presence as I spoke on that stage that night. And I feel it again tonight. I realized that there are no guarantees in life, and it's been a journey. You never know what you're going to get. I realized that stepping out of my comfort zone was very important. And I don't know what stepping into these new territories will bring, but I do know a couple of things. It'll be more enlightening and more expanding with each yes. Plus, it'll make for better stories. Thank you.
That was Sabat Johnson. Isn't that great? A year to saying yes. Be right back. I've got some more stories for you you're going to want to hear. Be right back. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com on a Friday. Hi, everybody. This is Kate. Hey, go to preparewithkate.com. Right now, you can get some food storage in your home, and you can get such a savings on it. You can get a 3-month supply with $150 off, or you can get a 4-day supply for $297. There's some great deals right now, and the best part is you can actually pay over time, but get it in your house right now. So I'm really letting you guys know, preparewithkate.com, it puts you right into Patriot Supply. They're a fantastic company with fantastic products. And I urge you to go ahead and get some food now as prices are going to be doubling and scarcity is going to be happening. So please get some food under your roof. Prepare with Kate.com. Thanks, guys. Hey guys, Kate here. Hey, I just wanted to make sure that you realize the Pure Body Spray, the Zeolite Spray, there's an ad for that on the bottom of my homepage. You guys might want to grab that. In fact, I'm seeing a lot of really great results from it. This is the one my daughters turned me on to, and they give it to their kids, but also for older people as well. Because of the metals in our body, the things that are so toxic, they think this is what's causing all the Alzheimer's and dementia to happen. And so if that's the case, this Pure Body Spray, all you do is spray it in your mouth, tastes like water, you don't even taste anything, and a couple times a day, and it adheres to the metals and the toxins in your body and takes them out. And so this is an important spray. With everything going on, all of the things showering down on our heads and everything else, this is something that you're going to want in your arsenal. So I highly, highly recommend this Pure Body Zeolite Spray, okay? Make sure and go to the link on the bottom of my homepage. You'll feel better, less brain fog, all kinds of different things that you'll see from getting those toxins out of your body, your liver, everything else. Zeolite Spray is amazing, and this is the purest form on the market, so make sure and get it.